You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show.
The world is a vampire.
Welcome, everybody. Bing is for doing. We're here doing another Whale Wars. Nay, we're campaigning.
Whales.
Bing is for campaigning. And we're here campaigning for another Whale Wars. Season 5, Episode 5, Crossing the Line, which is exactly what those Japanese did tonight.
Quite literally crossing the line.
Which is, we'll obviously get into depth about that. I am your host, Phil Svitek. Whale Wars. Whale Wars. Joining alongside
Ben Bottomley, that's me. Hello, everybody.
Welcome, Ben Bottomley. How are you this week?
I'm excellent.
Fair enough. Well, let's jump right into it, shall we? Let's talk about the Bob Barker. Not that there's a lot to talk about, but why not get it out of the way, right?
Yeah, not much going on there.
So, you know, they're keeping their position, so to speak.
Very much so.
You know, and it sucks because they're the only presence that's currently there.
Yeah.
Over in Antarctica.
Yeah, and they're being tailed, so there's not much they can do, really.
Yeah, and the thing that sucks is, again, it really is war in the sense of, like, how quickly the odds can turn. I mean, you literally have three ships, and now you're down to one ship, and you know, the stakes of that on morale is just so defeating.
Yeah.
You know? So the Bob Barker is the only ship that we have, and they're basically waiting. Now, why don't we talk about real fast before we fully dive into the Steve Irwin, because there's a lot to talk about with them.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about Amazon, Ben, because I know we always kind of leave it towards the end, and I want to make sure we get it out nice and early today.
Well, if you go to AfterBuzzTV.com, you will find a very large Amazon banner that you can click on at the top of the page.
Move your mic a little bit closer so people can hear. There you go.
If you click on said Amazon banner and then make a purchase, that's an important part. You have to actually buy something. We get some money. We get a percentage of your purchase, which is very nice for us because, I mean, who doesn't like money?
It's a win-win-win. And here's the cool part. Most people would ask you, hey, you know, can you guys go out and buy this book or this, you know, nail polish or whatever it may be. We're not asking you to buy anything in particular. You buy what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of you guys are buying on Amazon anyway. Now it's just a quick
step. Extra click.
And we actually had some emails and tweets saying, like, wow, you guys create a really cool website just like Amazon. No. It is Amazon.
Yeah.
It takes you to the real Amazon.
Directly to Amazon.
And so the bonus points you guys have, you know, if you guys have gift cards, that all applies.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So go ahead, shop away at...
Just bookmark our website. Just click that. Click on the banner, and then you're there.
That's right. So let's talk about the Steve Irwin, and we'll kind of break down in two bits. The getting there part, and then the getting out part. So, and we had kind of talked about this. I'm finally glad we're seeing why, you know, because you and I have for the longest time been joking, like, well, if you're the Sea Shepherds, why not just start in Japan at the harbor?
Yeah.
Because then you're going to tail them and they can't lose them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the Japanese decided to do.
Right. I didn't even consider maybe they can't actually go into Japan for the same reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's
maybe there's
they're certainly not welcome in Japan.
Yeah, and I doubt the people of Japan would be welcoming them to their ports.
International law is always so finicky.
Yeah.
But I liked it, and, you know, it's something that they didn't address. You know, they didn't set us up for this.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of introduced this whole issue in this episode, and, you know, had I known a little bit last week, I would have been much more at ease with what things were going on, and now I kind of get it. You know, but basically they were being followed the whole way, and why not, right? It makes sense. You know, you're basically taking them out for the whole time.
Right. But how legal is it? I mean, Australian waters, they don't allow whaling ships. And I suppose that's not a whaling ship. It's just a security vessel of the fleet, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's where that comes
in. It's a government ship. So,
well,
it gets a little weird.
It gets
but they did it anyway.
They did it anyway. Correct. And, again, the weird part was, too, you know, that we were picking up, and I say we as in the proverbial we crew members off the Bardo, and, you know, I'm glad the Japanese responded in the way that, okay, you know what, we'll stop. This is a major SOS, and we're not going to violate that law.
I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, I saw Peter Brown picking up the phone, telling them, like, guys, come on, lay off. And I always find it funny when they try to bargain with them because of just what they do to them and how miserable they make their lives and their jobs. And I get the whole, like, it's you're required to do this by international law again, but I don't know, it's still funny to me that they're like, hey guys, come on, please, please stop.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But to your point about law, it's the law's so long as it can be enforced, basically, you know? And so, yeah, you may not necessarily be able to have Japanese whaling ships. Well, if no one's there to stop it, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, that's great. Didn't work out.
Pretty much.
Have no one, you know. And
which is why I think they should go down to the Antarctic waters and sink all the ships. No one's down there. Who cares? Just saying.
Well, you know, I love these big international stories and things like that, of things that would happen. But again, I you know, who's to really police this? And you know what's strange is,
well, Australian Coast Guard.
Australian Coast Guard, yeah.
I suppose.
I really liked the board that they had drawn, and it was quite an intense scene of just watching them come to that kind of border.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was that.
Yeah. I don't know, I thought it was kind of strange that they figured, like, they're going all the way the second they crossed the border.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think I would give it a few minutes. I'm sure they did off screen, but I don't know. It's like, oh no, they crossed that line. They've got to be following us the whole way. They're not going to turn around soon. No chance.
Yeah, well, I mean,
but TV.
TV, yes. I mean, here's the interesting part, though. If you know the Australian government's not necessarily going to help, but you have these friends that protect wildlife, you know, get them to kind of harass the Japanese in addition.
Yeah, they've got friends in all sorts of countries, I'm sure. They're a very multicultural organization.
Yes, and obviously for this campaign, it sucks very, very dearly that we lose the Bardo, and we lose a good amount of people, too.
I mean, I was surprised by how many people were leaving.
Yeah, and especially Jono. Like, even though he's the captain of the Bardo, you know, he can help out. I mean, you know what I mean? I feel like he has skills other than just being the captain of the Bardo.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a decision based on the sheer amount of people they already had or based on what he had to go through with the Bardo, if that came into his decision-making. I don't know why he gave up. But, I mean, that was pretty intense.
Well, it could be, too, that he's staying back to make sure that the repairs on the ship happen
100%,
you know, because he was there and he could,
He realizes what's going on with that ship.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, it'd be like basically me giving you a computer to fix, and you're like, well, what's wrong with it? Well, you just fix it, you know, whereas if I, obviously I know how I use it, things like that, I can help you troubleshoot it. So that's why that's always important.
Yeah, Peter Brown also left, which, I mean, I was just...
That wasn't touched upon.
No, they just said, like, Peter Brown, and I think they said Gary left, too.
Yeah, Gary did leave.
So, do they...
I think Chris Altman might be back, which I'm hoping.
I hope he is. I mean, we saw Gary once, and he sucked, but...
We saw him twice.
Did we see him twice?
It was two episodes
Okay. But Peter Brown, they just kind of like, he's gone. And I was just starting to like him, too.
Yeah, I mean...
I've said it many times, I did not like him at first. And this time around, he's been, like, helpful, and I've enjoyed his presence on the ship.
Yeah, he's been good. He's also had some off-put jokes. I mean, I remember him saying, like, we're ready to make sushi or something like that. Like, okay, like, sushi's not too far off from whale.
Yeah. You know. It's pretty similar, but... Yeah, he was. I did like him now, this time.
Yeah, and I just wish they kind of gave more of an explanation. Yeah. You know, rather than... It feels like a wool over our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was a problem, just address it.
Yeah. I mean, I would have liked to know why they all left.
Yeah.
Because I did not expect that when they came back, those guys would be leaving.
Yeah. So it is what it is. And then...
Before we get too far into that, those... When they were trying... On the way back, when Paul had the plan to try to overheat the Shonen Maru's engine to keep them dead in the water, those plugs, that looked ridiculously dangerous and scary. Like, getting that close, having to wait for the water level to drop, and then shoving your hand pretty much into their boat in those rough waters?
Yeah.
Dang.
But a smart move. I mean, the kid invented it.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't do anything, but still a good idea.
Well, it just sucks, wouldn't you? I mean, I understand there's not a lot of time to test this stuff, but if it's not working, then again, just use the prop foul.
Yeah, stick to something you know works.
But a smart idea. But,
they know. That would have been awesome if it did work. I'm sure that would have taken them out a lot longer than a prop fouler.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fun.
Oh, yeah.
I was really hoping that would work.
Because
that seemed like... I mean, first off, they pulled it off. So kudos to them.
Yeah, they did it. They did it very well. Nothing bad happened.
No. And, you know, that would be a tough thing to take out. And then, I mean, I imagine the ship overheating would have just caused a huge explosion.
That'd be cool. That's something we would like on this show.
Yes. So, you know, it was what it was, and Paul was just so disappointed, and it does suck. Again, I really was hoping that would do something.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
So let's talk about the risky game plan then, because it leads Paul into thinking, okay, we have to do something drastic.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first time they've necessarily done it, but still risky nonetheless.
Yeah.
And so we get three Australian people, volunteers, to work.
They were... Simon Peterfee, Jeffrey Tuxworth, and Glenn Pendlebury. I actually knew that this was going to happen sometime in this season because I read a news report back in January about it, and I was like, oh no, damn it.
spoiler alert. Can you give us a spoiler on it of what exactly ends up happening?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Well, kind of. I can make an educated guess because I never...
All right, what did the article say?
It said these three Australian activists could face deportation to Japan and like 15 years jail time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just talking about the legal troubles they could get into. That was it. It was just the risks they were going to... What could happen to them because of what they've done.
Yeah.
They didn't say what actually did happen to them, so...
15 years does suck.
That would suck. You go away to Japan for 15 years, you come back as a different person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that'd
be the worst.
That's half of my life. That's more than half of my life so far. That's Ben's whole life, pretty much.
I would hate that. And I mean, you'd have to go to Japan of all places from Australia.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big risk to take, and the tough part is too, they're not Sea Shepherd volunteers.
No.
They're activists, mm-hmm. certainly, but not Sea Shepherds.
Mm-mm. I mean, that made sense, though. What government would want to go out and publicly, like, support Sea Shepherd?
Well, they do have support from...
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know what I'm trying to say. This magnitude, going out and actually rescuing them from...
Yeah.
Starting something with the Japanese and, like, backing Sea Shepherd.
Yeah. Makes sense. I could see when they were having their initial meeting with Paul, I think what it seemed like a little bit to me, or at least like the fear in those people's eyes was, okay, he's looking for people who are Australian, but also Sea Shepherds. And you know, it would be hilarious if the one dude that was an Australian Sea Shepherd in that meeting was like, oh, damn it.
If they all just pointed at him.
Yeah, like, there's the Australian. And you're like, but I signed up to save whales. No. I didn't sign up for that.
They could go get Potsy off the Bob Barker.
Yeah, so, but I'm glad we found our three Australians.
Mm-hmm. They were very willing to take the risk.
Except for that one kid. I mean, he started freaking out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wouldn't you, though?
I would, too, but it just, whereas the other ones, they seemed to, like...
They were totally cool. They were into it.
Wasn't the other guy getting, like, boat sick? He was like, this is intense just being on Steve Irwin. I can't imagine being on the jet. Like, dude, you're going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, but you take what you can get.
Yeah, I don't think Paul was like, yeah, go on.
You're a perfect candidate.
And then it just always frustrates me. First off, why? I don't know, but why do they leave it? Okay, I know you have little daytime.
Yeah.
Or nighttime, rather.
This drove me crazy, too. And it always does.
And you left it to the last 15 minutes of, like, really?
They left it to the last 90 minutes. And they had... Shocker, they had boat problems and they were left dead in the water for a while. By the time they actually get onto the boat, you can totally see the sun's already coming up.
Yeah.
Why? I don't get why they don't give themselves more time. I don't know if it's because they can't. I don't know why, but
I mean,
they always
do this. If they can't, address it.
Yeah.
You know, let us know.
Say, like, guys, we didn't blow this off till the last minute. Don't think that, because we all totally do think that.
Yeah. I mean, and then I mean, they built it up more than it was worth, but just the whole notion of, all right, well, instead of having two boats, just have the one boat take them.
Yeah. I mean, they say, like, speed is so important here that we actually have to take two boats to keep the weight, like, keep them light so that they can move faster.
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
I don't think you need that.
Nah. But, I mean, I guess if they took the one boat and it broke down, then they're done. I don't know if that was also part of it. Because you'd think they'd anticipate mistakes by now.
Yeah, but you can't. You never hope for your boat failing.
No, you don't hope for it. But, I mean, things like that happen to them all the time.
Yeah.
You just got to prepare for it.
Yeah. Why try?
Yeah.
Why try?
We're all going to die.
But, no, I liked how they, you know, they put in the effort and they were there and... I guess we left off with them getting on.
Yeah.
Okay.
They succeeded in getting on.
The mission was successful. So I'm glad. At the end of the day, I just like seeing successful missions. Like, granted, yes, whatever may go wrong has gone wrong and it will go wrong. But as long as we can overcome adversity, that's what I like seeing rather than, like, especially when it's something like lame. Like, I mean, it was basically the equivalent of like, oh, someone forgot to refill the tank and now we're stuck here.
Yeah.
You know? And I hate those kind of mistakes. Like,
yeah.
That's
when it's totally avoidable and someone just, like, someone didn't do their job.
Exactly. Like, yeah. The Bardo, that's, okay.
That's,
I got it.
They couldn't have helped that. I mean, that sucked, but it wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
And I guess it's the same way with this boat. I mean, no one prepared for that. It was like an electrical problem or something. That's what Sid was saying.
But that's what I don't understand. You can't manually override. I don't know. I would like to know.
Well, they probably
more
didn't
about
have the proper equipment to repair it on them. If they were, especially if they were going for speed and they had to take people off the boats.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume they didn't have what they needed.
Don't boats have backup motors?
Some do. Some don't.
For speed purposes, we got rid of it?
I guess so, probably.
That would make sense, actually.
Yeah, it would. And then, of course, you're stuck in the water, but...
Yeah, that's
that part doesn't matter.
Jeez, I hope they never sink, because these lifeboats would suck. I'd be like, I'd rather go down with the sinking ship than on this lifeboat that probably doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't even think those are the lifeboats, though.
No, they're probably not. But they can certainly act as a lifeboat.
If they can deploy them.
Yeah.
Which they already have trouble doing. Well, okay, to be fair, it was very rough waters when they were deploying it.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote that the Delta deployment in the beginning when they were rescuing the Bardil was sloppy. But then I remembered, oh, wait, they're in ridiculously rough water. So I got to
give
them
a little credit.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to touch upon before we move into our commercial break?
Well, yeah, last week, I just wanted one more little thing. Last week when I believe the Bob Barker was in some rough waters again, we saw a shot of the kitchen. And we saw people, they were being launched back and forth, and there were dishes and cups falling out of the cupboards again, being smashed everywhere.
Yes, why?
And
why?
Every time, every single time, we're like, why haven't you guys figured that out yet? Really?
I mean,
come on.
I mean, yeah, please. How about we use paper? Not that you have to throw it away. You don't have to throw it away. And, you know, you just reuse it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
Or, like, even... I don't know.
Or they have the plastic plates, which you can wash.
Yeah, those are reusable.
And they certainly don't break as easily. They will if you step on them, things like that, but they will not break just on their own accord if they drop.
Yeah.
And let's use mugs.
Yeah, just...
Or water bottles.
I don't know if they're... Oh, the, like, aluminum ones? Because they're all about being green.
So aluminum's more green?
Yeah. Right, less plastic, you can refill it.
Well, that's fine.
Excellent. There you go, Sea Shepherd.
But it just does okay. But just doesn't bode well to have open containers.
No,
at all.
At all.
On a ship. That rocks.
Yeah.
And especially in
cabinet
the sea.
Doors that, cupboard doors that just fly open. Yeah.
Yeah, like let's put some locks on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's lock it down.
No,
all right.
Not a bad idea. Okay, rant.
So
over.
that was our rant on that. But you know what? If you are buying a boat through Amazon.
Buy some locks for your cupboard doors.
Yes.
You won't regret it.
So, all right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back right after this, so stay tuned.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck-driving man, but I'm not that old-school kind of truck-driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Speaking of hollers, how about this, Ben? There's a new podcast app out made by iTunes.
I have downloaded it.
It's awesome because, as we have berated you in the past multiple times, please rate and comment. But now,
very easy to do on this app.
It's so much easier. And the cool part is, as well, you can tell a friend.
Mm-hmm. You can share things.
You can share. And that's what's really great. About the internet. I mean, the whole point is to share and create this community. And so it doesn't behoove us if the community is small. Not that it is small, but I'm saying, you know, let's go from hundreds of thousands to millions.
Millions.
And then we could collectively save the whales. Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my goal.
Because, I mean, the cool part is not only are you, A, spreading the word of AfterBuzz, you're actually spreading the word of Whale Wars. And I'm not being facetious when I say that, or a-hole. I really mean that, because if you're listening to us, you're probably watching the show.
I would hope so.
And so vice versa. So, you know, if you tell people to listen to us, then they have to start watching the show. And so it only makes the show more popular.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Now on to our...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ben, what do we predict?
Three Australian men held in Japanese custody for some time, and Paul Watson negotiating with the Australian government to get them back.
And the Australian government says no.
Probably. I'm gonna guess his plan doesn't pan out the way he thought it would.
Yeah, I mean, can you probably check?
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can find a news article somewhere saying what happened to them.
No, but I'm just asking Paul, hypothetical for Paul, like, is there any way, hey, Australian government, I have three Australians board the Japanese ship, would you go and save them?
Yeah.
But then like, you're planning what?
I don't know if they'd be able to do that, because I don't know if the Australian government would be, again, if they'd be okay with it, knowing that this was, like, directly related to Sea Shepherd.
Well, they certainly
But I don't know. I don't know if that would change things. I'm not the Australian government.
No, you are not. But we do have Australians fans. So, you know, speaking of which, let us know. You know, speaking of rating and commenting, let us know how... I'm not familiar with international law. I mean, it's tough enough to keep up with law here in Los Angeles, let alone California, let alone the United States, let alone the damn world.
Mm-hmm.
It gets confused, you know? So let us know. I want to know what's going on, and I'm going to be excited. I think that's going to take up the whole of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're just going to see that, which is fine.
Fun fact about laws, it is still legal to duel a man to the death in California.
All right, next week we should have one.
Okay.
Anyway, Ben Bottomley, where can they find you if they wanted to keep in touch?
I've probably got a Twitter somewhere.
Oh. That's nice.
It's been a while since I've used the Twitters, I'm not going to lie. I forgot my own username, my own password.
All right, well, you can find Ben here, engineering, or some other shows, so check him out. Give him a holler.
Yeah, you can find me just AfterBuzz in general.
There you go.
Yep,
tweet at us here at AfterBuzz. It's easy, at AfterBuzz TV, and you can find me on other shows. And hey, go support other shows here as well. I just wrapped up Snooki and JWoww, which, you know, may not be your necessarily cup of tea, but hey, just give it a whirl. You know, maybe your friends might like it.
And
anyway,
do comment on iTunes. We will read them.
We will.
If you do. That's part of the deal. You have to do it.
Yeah. We're not mind readers. We're not that great.
All right.
Anyway.
We'll see you guys next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.